Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley in Oregon in the United States of America. And I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you again about faith. How it is that we need to abide in faith. Now, if I take the words from 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, where the apostle says, now abides faith, hope, charity. Do you abide in faith? I've used the expression that it is to lean backwards and be at home. Be settled, be quiet in the presence of God. That's where your faith resides or should reside. So let me go on and talk to you for a few moments of how the Apostle Paul applied this abiding to the church in Galatians. If you read with me in Galatians 3, you will discover that he starts off, "Oh, foolish Galatians, what's gone wrong? You heard the word, you accepted the word, you received the word, you knew Jesus as your Savior, at least that's your testimony. And yet you've gone back and you've said, let's go back to the old-fashioned religion." Now, here I don't want to offend anyone, but I do have a question in my heart. Understand first, I better tell you this, I've been to Israel several times, I've been to Jerusalem several times. I am totally supportive of the movement that we have in this country of supporting the Jewish nation and the Jewish Christian in particular. A friend of mine who was the founder of Jews for Jesus, the title of which I got Saints for Jesus, so that we're just one step away from that. But Jews for Jesus, Moshe Rosen, was one of my dearest friends. And I love the ministry of Jews for Jesus and that type of thing. I'm in favor. But I have seen and observed Christians doing something that I think is odd. I think it's odd because they have forgotten that a new testament, a new covenant, or a new agreement with God has been presented to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, today, it's very fashionable at Easter to invite Jewish rabbis and others to come to our churches and teach us about the Seder, Passover. It's very interesting to get involved and to understand Hanukkah in the Christian world, Christmas, and so on. Christmas is really a Roman Catholic word, Christ's Mass. And that's what it means, the Mass of Christ. I'm not very happy with that sometimes. But somewhere in all of this, we need to understand that we have a new agreement with God. And this new agreement, says Paul to the church in Galatia, is being ignored by you. You're going backwards. You're going back into Judaism. This is his great point. They're talking about circumcision as being necessary. I've heard Christians say exactly the same thing, that we need to be circumcised so that we can be real people of God. We need to back up and understand what the apostle teaches about these things. Now, follow with me, and because of time, I'm going to flit through this. Look how many times the apostle talks about faith and abiding. He says, for instance, in verse 2, "This only I want to learn from you. Did ye receive the Spirit by the works of law or by the hearing of faith?" Now, you tell me, he says, to the church at Galatia, how did you receive the word of God? And then he goes on and he says, "Are you so silly that you've suffered so much in the flesh? Why would you go backwards? When you turn your heart over to the Lord Jesus, when you turn your life into his hands and you say, 'Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments, take my days, let them be filled with ceaseless praise.' When you do that, my dear friend, Jesus is now the King of your life. He is Lord of Lords, he's King of Kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. If you read this by yourself, you can see more of this, but he comes on down into verse 5 and he says this, does the Spirit do these miracles? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How do we see miracles? We see it because we have faith in God, because we see that God is at work in the lives of men and women. John Baptist, he went out in front of Jesus and saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John eventually was a little confused. His disciples were certainly confused. And so he said to his disciples, you go to Jesus and ask him, are you the one that should come? Are you the Messiah, in other words? Or should we look for somebody else? And Jesus said to the disciples that came to him, go back and say to John that the deaf hear, the blind see, the paralytic walks, go and tell him these things, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Now, let's understand something here. Jesus was always involved with the people that were poor. Now, I know you're going to say, well, there's plenty of us around because of the economy of this country at this moment. Hold on. What did Jesus say in the 5th chapter of Matthew's gospel? Blessed are the poor in spirit. So you've got to include this group of people. What does he mean? He means, as I've explained to you before, he means blessed are the people that have come to the end of their rope. That the difficulties of life, whether they be physical, spiritual, or mental, doesn't matter which, people that have reached the end of their tether, such people are in great need. And blessed, spiritually prosperous is the man who has emptied himself of all these things. Now, how can I possibly empty myself? There's an old hymn. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. Oh boy, when I first bounced into that hymn, I thought, wow, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I must talk with him. I must be a friend talking to a friend. And I must tell him about what's happening to my body, what's happening in my mind, what's happening in my spirit. And that I do. But understand this, miracles come because we have faith. Not in some ethereal thing, but by the hearing of the word of faith, which is the word of God. We hear the word of God. Oh, you don't have time to go to church? Then don't expect miracles. Whatever you do, don't do that because you'll not hear it. You don't read the word of God? Don't expect miracles. Unless there's some extraordinary reason, you will not even have a glimpse of them. And I would ask you to be very careful. Verse 6 tells us, as Paul dives into the past and he talks of Abraham believing God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, he says, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Only those that are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ are the children of God. And he is saying this to them as plainly as he possibly can. He is bringing the Jewish culture into the Christian thinking, and he is showing them where they stand. And it's an important thing for you and I, because in verse 8 we discover that the scripture foreseeing that God should justify the Gentiles by faith. Now notice this, God would justify the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles would justify themselves. Those of us that are not Jews, we're not going to justify ourselves before God. It is God that justifies. How did he do it? God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son for you. And whoever believes in the only begotten Son of God will not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you understand? Have you not understood? Look at this. Because the Gentiles were justified By faith, the gospel was preached to Abraham, and this is what it said, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." Then he concludes this little paragraph, and he says, "So then, those that are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that Abraham was a sort of forerunner of Christ. But only Jesus rose from the dead. Only Jesus suffered for our sins. Only Jesus was in that terrible torment. A little while ago, the pastor that I sometimes go and hear, he was talking about in John 20, how it was that Mary came to the sepulchre and she thought Jesus was the gardener. And she said to the gardener, having looked in the tomb and seen that Jesus was not there and the stone was rolled away, she said, as she thought, to this gardener, "Will you tell me where you've taken my Lord, and I'll go and get him." Now, that's typical of a woman. She's the most impractical person, and yet she's the most darling just because she is impractical. And my wife said to me, why didn't she recognize him? And I came up with all sorts of reasons, that she was not allowed to see who he was. But when he spoke her name, he said, "Mary." She turned herself about and said, "Rabboni," which is to mean master. She was passionately in love with this dear Lord Jesus that she had. Well, my wife was reading in Isaiah, and she read there that his visage was so marred. What does that mean? Well, in another translation that she was reading, it said his face was so smashed and damaged by the buffeting and the wickedness of those people that were so cruel to pluck his beard and to punch him in the face and slap his face. His eyes were swollen and so on. His visage was so marred, says Isaiah, that you couldn't recognize him. And my wife said to me, I've got my answer. The suffering was still in his face. The cruelty exhibited on him for our sins was still in his face. She had her answer. And so we find that we are blessed because of Jesus. Cast your eye down to the 11th verse. The apostle writes in this Galatians 3, he says in verse 11, "No one is justified by the law in the sight of God, and that's evident. For the just shall live by faith." You and I can live by faith, believing that Jesus has taken away our sin, suffered for our sin, and by his stripes we are healed. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus did at Calvary. And we dare not go far from the cross. But the justified shall live by faith. Yet the law, verse 12 says, the law is not of faith. Now, you can't please God with the law. You won't keep it anyway. It's like saying this is a country of laws. Yet every time you get in your car, it seems that you break some minor law. And if the police were really on their toes, they could stop every car that goes around because we're doing something silly. It's a crazy world. We think we're living by law. And we think that law is going to keep us free. And I'm saying to you, that law and the new laws that keep on coming down the pike are robbing us of freedom after freedom after freedom. And the terrifying thing is that nobody realizes that God has given us a wonderful alternative in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith we live. And the law cannot keep us. The law cannot hold us. And it cannot give us peace. Then we come to verse 14. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Jesus has said and has shown us how that he breathed upon his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." We can receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God the Father, as he breathes upon us. It is the inhaling, in a sense, of the Spirit of God. We do that by faith. I believe that I am filled with the Spirit of God. I believe, I have faith in the fact that God will not leave me alone, but he will fill me with his Spirit, and his Spirit will be active in my life. I believe it. I have faith in that fact. Let's go on to verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. You see, Abraham was the ancestor of Jesus in the flesh. That's why we have the Old Testament, which is talking about the Jewish nation and the Jewish race, how God dealt with them and helped them and led them and guided them all the way from the Red Sea into the land of milk and honey, how they lost the land of milk and honey, and how they became enslaved and scattered all over the world. We all know the history, and our historonics need to be brushed up upon so that we can understand the Old Testament. Now, all of the Word of God is written by inspiration, so we should look at the Old Testament for inspiration and understanding of the will and the way of God. But when you get into the New Testament, it is the new way. And this new way, this new agreement with God, is the New Testament. It's like God wrote a will for the Jewish nation, and now he writes a new will for whosoever will may come, Jew, Gentile, Greek, whatever, black and yellow, red and white, all are precious in his sight. All creeds, all nations, all people throughout the whole world can come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever will may come from all these different factors in the world. All will not come, we know that, but who will come may come and receive Christ as their Savior. Then if you drop down your eyes into the latter part of this chapter, you will find in verse 22, the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, only to those. Now, there is no life after death, some people cry. And I say to you this, there is life after death. Because as we look at the Scriptures, we know that those that have rejected Christ will be resurrected one day, and that resurrection is to the condemnation of their souls. That is, to live the rest of eternity without God in their lives, without any salvation to receive. On the other hand, those that have believed and have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are, quote and unquote, saved. They are saved for the rest of this life and on into eternal life. And we receive the eternal life that God gives us. Eternal life cannot be improved upon. I am now beginning my eternal life. I am living eternal life now. And it's important to understand that. Look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. The law, he goes on to say, was a schoolmaster, and it guarded us. Now, teachers in the classroom, not so effective today as it was in my day, the teacher had a great deal of responsibility and law. Today, it's very different, according to the teachers that I talked to. But the tutor, the teacher, holds the student and holds him until he has learned. He has learned a specific subject. He has learned a specific way of understanding the subject that he's supposed to be taught. I have a son. Now, at one point in his life, you wouldn't have said he was too swift. But he wanted to become a civil engineer. He was laughed at by the people that interviewed him and said he didn't have what it took. Today, he is a consultant engineer and some mathematician, but his biggest problem was math. And he could not catch whatever it was about calculus. And so he went back to the teacher. There was a big test tomorrow sort of thing. He went back to the teacher and said, show me again this principle. Teacher showed him for the umpteenth time. I knew the teacher and he told me the story. He said it was getting irritating. Paul kept coming back and saying, show me again, show me again. Paul is my son. He went back at night and hammered on the door. And the teacher was in his PJs and he said, look, Paul, I can't keep this up. And my son apparently said to him, please, I pay part of your salary. Please earn it. Show me this. And the teacher said to me, the tutor, the professor actually, said to me this. He said, I knew that though he understood it while he was looking at me, the moment he turned his back from me, it would just fade away in his mind. And he struggled through the examination the next day. And then he went on for a few more weeks. And then there was another test. But this time he didn't bother the tutor anymore. And he came to a place where he was beginning to understand. And the tutor said this. He said, in the classroom as I was teaching, all of a sudden I saw your son's eyes light up. He understood calculus. And since then, that fellow has gone on and on in mathematics and other things that he enjoys. I have a grandson, and just because he loves math, if any of you are teenagers, he's just graduated, he's 18 now, but if any of you teenagers are listening to this, I just have to laugh. Just because he liked math, he only had to pass one unit of math, maybe not use the right terminology because I'm not familiar with Americanism in this way, but anyway, he took three other sets of math, and in taking that extra math, he more than qualified to go into the local college of his choice. Now, how splendid that is. Oh, very splendid. Now, here, the tutor is the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, in the old thinking, people were held back until the Holy Spirit was breathed out. And it wasn't God for the Jew, it's now God for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not just to one nation, not just to one creed, not just to one group of people, but to the whole world. Whosoever will may come. Have you come? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received him as your Savior? Is he the head of your experience day by day? Are you kept moment by moment in his love? Are you kept so that you have peace from above? Do you have faith in Jesus? It's an important factor. We now come down a little way to verse 24, and we read that we might be justified by faith. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that by his stripes I am healed. I believe that Jesus was buried and resurrected the third day. I believe that Jesus came back from the dead. I believe he entered into hell. I believe he preached to the spirits in hell. I believe he came back out of hell. His experience was extraordinary. And he came back for one purpose, to give his disciples and whosoever would follow him life that was abundant, life with a capital L, life that would be exciting and wonderful. You got that life? Oh, my dear friend, you need the life. If you're a saint already, you need to capitalize on that life. Live the life in Jesus. Let the power of God fill you. Look at verse 25. Where he says, and after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. When we believe that Jesus Christ the Lord is Lord of all, oh, We don't need anybody to explain the Word of God to us. We read it and understand it immediately. We know what it says. We don't have to get in arguments whether we believe that we should have the NIV or the King James or the New King James or the New Geneva Bible or all these different Bibles. We don't need to get into the discussion. What we need to do is understand God's Word, and His Holy Spirit will teach us. Well, dear ones that are listening, there's something for you to think about. We have to stop. Lord Jesus, please, bless all that hear these words and let them make sense to their hearts and their spirits. Refresh us and give us liberty in Jesus, for we ask it in Christ Jesus' own name. Amen. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. God bless.